One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rumble, band.video, Vigilante TV, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your amazing support over the years. Rate the show. Give us 5 stars if you think we've earned it. I think we have. We do a pretty good job over here. And if you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the website to do that. And we appreciate your loyal support. And so do our sponsors. They help to make this show happen. I got to give you good ones or else it doesn't do us any good. Legal Shield's been in business for half a century in the United States and Canada. It's the best money you will ever spend. You want to talk about getting your money's worth in a world filled with inflation where nothing costs what it used to a couple years ago? Legal Shield will get you access to an attorney in your area for $1 a day, $30 a month. No kidding. This is their entry-level program. You can check it out. You can have your attorney take care of contracts for you, paperwork, do your last will and testament, your financial power of attorney, your medical directive, all the stuff that you've got to have as an adult. You got to have it. You don't want to spend a bunch of money, and nobody wants to think about doing their will, and you know, but you got to, right? So if you have to do it, you might as well do it for the most reasonable price without sacrificing any quality. On average, the attorneys at Legal Shield have 22 years of experience. So you're not going to get somebody fresh out of law school who's going to screw up your stuff for you. You're going to get somebody who knows what they're doing. They're going to make it easy for you, and you're going to get an app on your phone, which makes it just tap a couple buttons and tell them what you want, and somebody will call you the next day. It seriously is the best money you will spend. And you can read up about it. Go to don'tgetpushedaround.com. That's the website specific to the show. And you can just check it out and see what they've got. They've got ID Shield. They've got a small business plan. They've got documentation for people who carry a gun. There's a lot going on over there. So check it out. Go over to don'tgetpushedaround.com. Get yourself an attorney for $1 a day. Got to use it for good. Can't use it for evil. Can't be an asshole about it. Okay. And also to our friends over at Shop C60, C60 Power, you can go to shopc60.com and find out all their products. Man, they make the best carbon 60 out there. And carbon 60 is a pretty miraculous molecule. It's a carbon 60 molecule. It was theorized by Buckminster Fuller. He said it has to be there. It's a carbon 60 atom molecule, and it's a free radical sponge. It looks like a soccer ball. It's shaped like a cellular soccer ball, and it goes throughout your body. It finds free radicals, it fixes them, and it resets itself and does this again and again and again. This is the reason why when Christian Yordanov did my metabolic functions test, I came back with such a low score on my DNA damage that I didn't have a score. It was so far in the green that there was no score. He thought the test was broken, but this is what it is. This is what C60 does. It helps to repair you on a cellular level. So you're probably not going to see any results immediately. But like I said, I've been taking this for 4 years. And the guys who discovered it are the guys that work with nuclear fission, right? They want to make sure that they live to see tomorrow and they have to protect their cells. There's no old guys doing nuclear physics, right? They're all dead. But Ken, the scientist who's been on this show a bunch of times, he said, we can build a better product. And so he built C60 Power. And it's available to you. It's the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's literally hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there. So if you're wanting to, you know, maybe fix your DNA damage and feel a little bit better, have more energy on the cellular level, or if you have aging pets especially, this is the product for you. Go to shopc60.com. Read up about it first. Do your own research. If you're comfortable with it, the promo code is macro. And get some. And if you got, like I said, I got cats that are now hooked on this. I'm happy that they love it, but unfortunately, they love it at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is not when I really want to give it to them. So anyway, hopefully some results may vary. Maybe you'll have, maybe your cats won't wake you up in the middle of the night, but I'm required to read this. So these statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. ShopC60.com, promo code macro. Well, in a nod to the tremendous piece of shit that was Henry Kissinger, I think there's no better title for this episode. We're going to talk about water. They want you to have none of it, or the water that you get, they want it to be filled with poisons. It's a long story. They've been interested in this forever. You want to control the people, as Henry Kissinger says, you control the food. If you want to kill the people, control the water. You know, just straight up, man. You know the studies, like you can go, I don't know, 30 days without eating. You'll be skinny and you'll be pissed off, but you'll be alive. But you won't make it 3 days without water, right? So it's not a stretch to think that the bloodthirsty, eugenics-inspired lunatics running the planet wouldn't have figured this out as well, right? If we know it, they know it. So we know they're going to mess with the water supply in the future, you know? And my circumstantial evidence to back that up is motive. And the motive is they hate us and want us dead, therefore they're going to use creative methods in which to bring that about. And restricting water is one way to do that, right? You know, you can just throw your hands up and say, it's not me, the government, it's just, you know, bad luck, it's just nature. There's no water where these people are. These people have decided to build their house in the middle of a desert where there's no water, like Las Vegas, where I lived. They can turn the water off. And to be fair, it's probably, unfortunately, easier than you think. I mean, an EMP in a regional area will knock all the power out, but it'll knock the power out to the water treatment facilities as well. And since I mentioned Vegas, let's use Vegas as an example, which has massive water problems. If you've ever flown in over Lake Mead, you'll notice that, which is the body of water that's connected to the Hoover Dam, you'll just see the scaling on the side of the mountains where the water used to be and where it is now. I mean, you don't have to be an expert on water or lakes or anything or aqueducts to know that the water level used to be up where the white part is. As you fly in, you'll know what I'm talking about. You look and you go, God damn, I mean, it looks like there's no water in there anymore. Correct. There's no water in there anymore because the water that goes through Las Vegas, it doesn't even belong to Las Vegas. It belongs to California on a crazy 100-year deal that they did. So the whole water system is fucked up. And if you're in Phoenix, they've been talking about this for a long time. If you're in Vegas, they've been talking about this for a long time. You got to have water. And when you have, I don't know, upwards of 2 million people in each of these metro regions, they suck a lot of water out. So you're going to have to keep that in mind for the future. So what we're going to talk about in this episode, I want to talk about what the Trump of South America is doing. I want to talk about water fluoridation, which is still happening, and it's even crazier than you thought. I want to talk about what the United Nations has planned for water. Spoiler alert, it ain't great. And I want to talk about the war crimes that are going on in Israel when it comes to their water. So we'll start here by just saying that they're currently, in case you've had your head squarely up your ass and you're not paying attention, they're currently poisoning the water. Let's just be honest with where we are here. This isn't some futuristic speculation on my part. I go, well, you know, if you squint really hard and you stand on one leg, maybe they'll be trying to mess with the water supply. No. They are already doing that. And they have been doing that for a very long time. They're poisoning the water with petrochemicals. They're poisoning it with glyphosate. They're poisoning it with atrazine. They're literally turning the frogs gay, as Alex Jones said. No, actually, they're turning the frogs transsexual, transgendered. And which just means they're extra annoying to deal with, too, on top of being gender nonspecific. They're just complaining all the time. These frogs never shut the fuck up about all their injustices. The Jews are trying to transition them from one sex to the other. It's just the whole thing. But no, we've got a problem, right? We've got a problem. Atrazine is in the water. Fracking wastewater is poison. You could just light it on fire. I mean, there's documentaries about this where it's like water coming out of the tap in, you know, in houses that are geographically close to regions where they're using, they're fracking and using this water. And then you see somebody like turn on their kitchen sink and then light it on fire. And it's like fire coming out of their tap, you know? So this is a reality. This isn't some dystopian distant future. It's today. And of course, fluoride. This is something that we've been all over for years and years. We've been talking about it. I've been writing about it. It's a fact. This is one of those easy ones where they say, what are you, a conspiracy theorist? You think that fluoride is bad for you? And so what? All the doctors are in on it and they just all decided that they're going to. Yeah. As a matter of fact, yes. All the dentists are into the fact that they don't know anything. Have a conversation. Your dentist offers you a fluoride rinse. Say, you're still giving that to people? And they go, huh? What? You go, it's a neurotoxin. It's proven neurotoxin. Didn't you see the San Francisco trial? It's been found, it's been proven now in a court that it lowers IQ by 5 points. You're going to give this to children? What? So are the dentists all in on it? Yeah, in a way they are. They're in on it by neglecting to do their duty, which is to figure out what they're putting in their patients' bodies. And if you're giving them fluoride rinses and fluoride toothpaste and sending them home with that, you are doing your patients a disservice. And I know it's taught in medical school. I mean, I there's part of me that doesn't even really necessarily blame the dentist because they only know what they're taught, and they're taught this, and this is the way the system reinforces it, and this is the, you know, I mean, I'm not going to let them off the hook. But I understand where their naivety comes from. The fact that this isn't really taught to them and they're not inquisitive enough. And then, you know, by the time you get your dental practice up and running, you're on the hook for bills every month and you've got leases on machines and you've got salaries you got to pay and healthcare for your employees and all kinds of shit. Like, last thing you want to do is reimagine your entire practice and go, wait a second, let me get to the bottom of this fluoride debate here, right? They don't do it, in much in the same way that pediatricians aren't interested in finding out the ins and outs of vaccines. Because if they did, if they followed that you know, thread, what they would find is that they've been harming their patients this entire time. Now, you could say that they didn't know it, and maybe they didn't know it. And maybe they get a pass in some respects because you know, you don't know what you don't know. But where's the curiosity? I mean, if you're holding down babies and injecting them with poisons and then some of them die in the next 48 hours and you label it as sudden infant death syndrome, then you're definitely covering this up. Okay. And I don't know that fluoride's necessarily going to kill some kid on the, you know, in the dentist's office or anything like that, right? It's gradual. It's cumulative. And so we don't have this sort of like frustration towards the dental community that we do towards the pediatrician community. But they need to get their head straight and they need to understand what's going on here. And they need to know that fluoride is a neurotoxin. And I suppose if they understood some of the, I don't know, maybe the, well, we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, if you understood the history of fluoridation, you would know that it came from some pretty nasty sources. We'll get to that in a second. One of the things they've also been doing with regard to our water system, besides poisoning it, is stealing it, okay, through their corporate partners. And like Nestle. Remember Nestle? Nestle is taking 25 times more water than they are entitled to from Strawberry Creek in California. They took 45 million gallons. That's 25 times more water than they were allowed to take. And so what happens to them? Nothing happens to them. That's the frustration in all of this, is that you can catch a company like Nestle, who has all the lawyers in the world and an ability to keep you hung up in court forever. What are you going to do against them, right? When the state gives them a pass, when the state just goes, oh, well, you know, it's Nestle being Nestle. You go, time out. Hang on a second. Get your handcuffs and put it on the CEO and let's have some conversations. Like, let's start arresting people for this. If I was stealing all the stuff from the state, you certainly wouldn't have a problem putting me in handcuffs. Why is it okay when Nestle does it? Because they're your partners, because they're connected to the World Economic Forum, which they are. Well, Nestle Waters, which is a division of Nestle, you may know them as the candy bar company, but they're far more than that, I assure you. And you can just impose on them every sort of twisted corporate psychopathic fantasy that you've ever had. Like, Nestle is the worst. Nestle has a long track record of destroying regions that they go into, the health of people. I mean, they don't give a fuck about you at all. And I'll tell you what, the idea of water as they were talking to the CEO of Nestle, and and he described the idea of water as a human right as, quote, extreme. It's extreme. Water, like, I think, as a human being, I should have the right to, you know, go to that stream over there and drink out of it if I want to. And the CEO of Nestle is like, not so fast, buddy. So that's kind of what we're up against. And just so you know, Nestle Waters, which is, like I said, a division of Nestle, they have 51 different brands of water. Some of them you may recognize: Poland Springs, Zephyr Hills, Arrowhead, Perrier. And so they've been in the water business forever. You know, they're in the food business, big food. You know, this is a dangerous company. Nestle's a dangerous company. There's just no other way to say it. I mean, this is one of these examples where if you took the entire board of directors away in handcuffs, that probably would be a good start. And they're all guilty of crimes. I mean, Nestle is like a big pharma company. It's like, make $1 billion, get caught, get fined $100 million, and you go, up, ten for one on my money. I'm fine with that. That's just the cost of doing business. Here you go. Tip you out to the state, and we're good. On to the next one, man. So, they lease politicians everywhere. You know, they've got their lobbying fingers all over everybody. So whenever, if you think that there's some sort of politician that's going to like fight for your rights and do right by you and go after the big corporate bullies who are poisoning our water supply and stealing our water, our fresh water, when they're not poisoning it, nothing's going to happen to these people. I'm sorry. I mean, if that is to be called blackpilled because I am of the belief that nothing will happen to them, my response to that is, well, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the track record. I'm just looking at history. If I say nothing's going to happen to these corporate CEOs, I say that not because I don't want there to be anything that happened or because I'm depressed about it all. I'm just saying I've seen this game play out many, many times before. Nobody gets taken away in handcuffs at the high levels of this. Nothing happens. They pay a fine and they move on and they continue doing this. So anyway, what they're doing right now, public-private partnerships with water. That's the new thing. This is what the state is doing. They're looking for public-private partnerships with their water, which is, where the public owns it, but the private companies run it, right? It's still public water. Like, it's still technically our water. It's our municipal water. But the city or county or however it is where you live isn't necessarily going to be in charge of it. It's going to be ABC Water down the street, right? Some company that runs it. And they're going to say, oh, well, we're in charge of, we're the private company that, they're barely capable of being a government. They hired us to come in here and run the water. You don't want them running the water. And you go, well, that is true. They are fucking retarded. So I don't know if I do want the politicians in charge of my water supply. So maybe this private company is a better option for that. And that's a reasonable, line of thinking. But the problem is when you get privatized water, then you have no recourse. They can just turn it off. And that's happened before. They privatized the water in England in the 1980s and in Chile. And it hasn't been great. The response from people, I think you could talk to anyone who knows a thing or two about that from the, from the 40 years in England where their water has been privatized. And I don't think it got any cheaper. I don't think the quality got any better, and it certainly isn't more convenient. So let's talk about fluoridation. I talked about this. You got to use it on the pores, don't you know? I mean, that's how they see it. And fluoride is not preventing cavities in the teeth of children, but it is, in fact, lowering their IQ by 5 points on average. That's what we talked about. This is not me pulling some stat out of my ass. This was proved in the court in San Francisco. Derek Bros camped out there for like 2 weeks I think he went back and forth on multiple occasions to cover, cause he's a real journalist, to cover the fluoride trial. And the state was busted. They said fluoride is poisonous. It's a neurotoxin. It lowers IQ. There's no good reason for this to be in the water supply. Do you know why it's in the water supply? It's in the water supply for two reasons, two main reasons. And neither of them you're going to like, but they're the truth. So the first reason why, how it got to be useful or even thought of as something other than a toxic byproduct, which it is that the company Alcoa, Aluminum Company of America, it's a byproduct of making aluminum. You use, I don't know the process. I'm not a chemist, but in the aftermath of manufacturing aluminum, you are left with a toxic waste, and that is sodium fluoride. And what was happening was that Alcoa had all of this toxic waste piling up. And they're like, what are we going to do with it? Like, it's toxic. We don't want it. It's not exactly a huge marketplace for it. We have to dispose of it too. That's going to cost us money to store it and dispose of it and all this stuff. I mean, we could just fucking dump it in the river if we wanted to, which I'm sure plenty of companies have in the past. But they didn't do that, right? So what they did was instead they brought in Edward Bernays, the godfather of public relations, which is another way of saying propaganda. And they had him go to work on it. And after a PR miracle, what he unfurled on the general public was a campaign that showed that sodium fluoride, not only was it not toxic, which it is, but it's good for you. Not only is it good for you, it's good for your teeth. And in fact, if you don't have it, and you're not using it for your teeth, well, then all your teeth are going to fall out and your kids are going to be toothless, and you don't want that, right? And so this was the PR campaign. It sounds crazy, right? It sounds like I don't know who greenlit this idea. I mean, it turned out it worked in the end, but like the person who's like, let's call Edward Bernays, that guy had vision. The person who made the decision on that was like, well, we could, before we bite the bullet, Alcoa, and spend all this money on destroying this toxic waste that we have, like mitigating it somehow, let's bring in this guy and see if he can sell it to the dumbed down general public. And he did. And that's why fluoride is in your toothpaste, because Edward Bernays made a good enough case. This is the same guy who said that every, he was hired by like the Pork Association, I think. And he started a campaign to say, like, everybody knows that a good breakfast starts with eggs and bacon in the morning. And so all of a sudden, people start eating bacon in the morning. It's like, that was also a manipulation. Nobody was eating bacon in the morning before that. Should be. It's delicious and fantastic. And I guess I suppose I have to thank Edward Bernays for normalizing bacon in the morning. But it was. That's how it gets done. That's how a lot of stuff gets done, unfortunately. So that's one side of it, right? Edward Bernays came in with his PR magic machine, and he sprinkled fairy dust all over the idea of sodium fluoride. And next thing you know, it's normalized, and it's not just good for you. It's going in toothpaste, right? But the secondary component that normalized fluoridation was all of the Operation Paperclip Nazi scientists that we brought back from Germany after World War II. And, you know, while you're in the break room having the conversation about whatever, one of these Nazi scientists kept saying, like, you guys don't fluoridate the water here? And they're like, what? And they're like, what? I don't know. We don't. I mean, why? You guys did? And they're like, oh yeah, back in Germany, we totally fluoridated the water. And they're like, why? I said, well, because it keeps the public docile. And you guys should do it here in America too. And they went, oh my God, we're missing a huge opportunity. Docile people? That's what it does? We're the government of America. We love docile people. It poisons them too and lowers their IQ. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever, right? So after that, between Edward Bernays and the paperclip scientist talking about the benefits of fluoridation, next thing you know, it's in our water supply and it's everywhere, right? So until you get to the San Francisco lawsuit, and now it's a neurotoxin, which it always has been. They've been doing this for years. Where's the compensation for us? Where's our reparations? Where's my fluoride reparations? You've been putting this in the water. I'm not talking about slavery 170 years ago and some, or, you know, some sort of obscure case. We can make some arguments about that. I want reparations for fluoride now. This is currently in our water. It's actually poisoning us. We can measure it. It's a measurable thing in the water. And then you can quantify the IQ loss. So on behalf of stupid people everywhere, I want reparations. Never going to happen. And you know why it's never going to happen? Because even in the aftermath of the San Francisco ruling, which showed that fluoride is a neurotoxin, it's harmful for everybody, and it lowers people's IQs by 5 points, the Trump administration is appealing the ruling. They're appealing the ruling. Because, and I think this is the reality of it. So you think, why would the Trump administration appeal this ruling? This is like, do nothing, right? Let the ruling happen. Let fluoride be banned, what it is. You know, you can claim a MAHA scalp for it if you want, and say, well, we went after the fluoridators. We got them. We're making America healthy again. Yeah, okay, well, how are you making America healthy again if you're appealing the ruling against the EPA? And I think the answer is, listen, we need the American people to be so stupid that they cannot connect these rather obvious dots in front of them. And so that's the reason why we're appealing it. And so the Trump administration wants there to be fluoride in the water. And the reason is because they intend to do some lying that you will have to be a brain dead moron to believe. Okay. That's, I think, what's going on. Speaking of Trump, let's talk about, I mentioned the Trump of South America. Yes, yes, Javier Milei and his golden chainsaw, and he's just going to work, don't you know, on behalf of Israel. And he's just privatized, so he wants to do something else. He's decided to privatize the water in parts of Argentina, actually all of Argentina. What could possibly go wrong with that, right? And he's selling. So he's privatizing it, which is code word for I'm selling the water supply, the control of the water supply to Israel. Isn't that amazing? It's funny. He goes in, he touches the wall, he puts the hat on, and he converts, and he's just the greatest Zionist you've ever seen. And one of the first things he's going to do is he's going to get rid of all this corporate shenanigans in Argentina, and he's going to do the right thing by the people. He's going to privatize the water supply and sell it to the worst country in the world, Israel. What could possibly fucking happen with that, right? Oh my God. World's sixth largest Jewish population, and this is a heavily Chabad Lubavitch influenced country. And you will know that because you know how they say that there's that old saying of how you go into government and you have these great ideas and you want to change the world, and then you get a visit from the men in black. The men in black suits come and visit you, and everyone goes, oh, that's the CIA. The CIA comes and they show you the Kennedy assassination from a different angle and they're scared or anything. No, the men in black suits that they're talking about is Chabad Lubavitch. That's the pictures whenever you see the president with the 15 bearded looking rabbi guys. They're all wearing black suits and black hats and they've all got the big beards. You know what I'm talking about. That's the crew. That's the men in black suits who visit you and tell you what you are and aren't going to do. I'm sure the CIA stops by as well, but it's not limited to them. And that group is running Argentina. Sorry, if you live in Argentina, I mean, there's been some financial improvements there, but that's a country that is always in some sort of ebb and flow economically, right? Their currency is collapsing or it's rebuilding, it's strengthening itself, or the economy is booming or it's busting. I mean, in Argentina, it's just kind of, it's always been about their currencies. And when Milei comes into office, he says, well, I'm going to fix all this, right? I'm going to fix all this. And listen, any good lie is filled with 90% truth. Does Argentina need fixing? Yes, of course it needs fixing. So he can sell that. He can go in there, I'm going to fix this, 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 and this. And you go, well, do those things need fixing? Yeah, they do. They all need fixing. Great. Okay, how are you going to do it? Well, that's the problem, is that allowing Mekarot, the world leader in water management technology, which is Israeli state-owned, it's a state-owned water company, letting them... they provide 90% of Israel's water. Letting them be in charge of Argentina's water is a catastrophe. I mean, Adolf Hitler would be rolling over in his grave in Argentina if he knew about this. Holy shit. But they manage the water of 10 of the 23 provinces in Argentina already. So it's not that much of a stretch there, right? So this isn't, it gets some headlines. It's not a real new thing. This has been going on in Argentina for a while. They've outsourced this even before Milei, right? So this wasn't even necessarily his idea. Now, he probably loves the idea because when you're doing this, you're bringing in Israel. I mean, he loves Israel. So I don't think he's going to have a problem with this, especially after he became president. Kept this policy going, and then he miraculously won something called the Genesis Prize from Israel. Do you know what the Genesis Prize is? Neither do I. But it comes with $1 million prize bonus for winning it, and it comes from Israel. So Israel gave Javier Milei the Genesis Prize with $1 million bonus to the president. How is that not bribery? How is that not bribery? Do you think we don't see what's going on here? Do you think we don't? Oh, I had a, we did the lottery. And what do you know? The president's numbers came up. We won the lottery. Well, it's just a coincidence. Hey, listen, can't win if you don't play, right? Isn't that the slogan? Holy shit. I mean, he also votes Israel's way at the United Nations, of course, but I'm sure that comes with $1 million strings attached to it, right? You get the prize, but it's like, oh yeah, we're going to need you to do some things. When we're murdering children indiscriminately, and then the UN calls for a vote against this, you need to pretend like you don't know what's going on. Got it? And if you don't, we'll murder you. The end. That's how it goes down. So speaking of the United Nations, They want to control the water too. I know you guys are totally surprised by that. Let's move on to the United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals adopted in 2015. We have talked about this ad nauseum. I've talked to Mel Kay about this. She loves the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Not loves that they're being implemented, but she loves to rail on them. So I've done quite a bit of work with her over the years on this as well. And look, they've got 17 SDGs, and two of them have to do with water. The first one, number 6 on the list, clean water and sanitation. This is one of their sustainable development goals. We have a goal, clean water and sanitation. It's a great goal to have. Number 14 is called life below water. Okay, so UN Water Conference is really where the magic happens with the, quote, stakeholders. They're always talking about stakeholders. And this is where they're going to help, the stakeholders are going to help fix climate change, registered trademark, climate change in, you know, air quotes, or however you want to do it. It's not really fixing the environment. There's nothing wrong with the ozone layer or the carbon dioxide levels and things like that. I mean, you can look at historical records. Everything's fine. It's not what it is. This is, of course, a gigantic scam. You know that when the United Nations is involved, it's part of a much broader project. Certainly not saving the world. Just get that thought right out of your head. But water rights are locked up by massive corporations and states. And they have something called life below water, right? This is number 14. And what they're doing is they're using the threat of global sea warming by 1.5 degrees. And they're saying that if global sea temperatures rise by 1.5 degrees Celsius, it will result in 70 to 90% of all marine life being completely destroyed. That's what they're going with. They're saying that if the oceans rise by a degree and a half Celsius, that almost everything will be gone. If they follow this up by saying, this is the United Nations, it's supposed to be like above reproach, right? They followed up by saying that if it increases from 1.5 degrees to 2 degrees warmer, then 100% of everything in the ocean dies. That's what they said. That's what they said. This is in their sustainable development goals. This is provably incorrect. You can look at bacterial life forms that live near vents in the ocean floor where water is coming out at thousands of degrees, hundreds of, you know, of degrees out of these vents. And what do you see? Some fucking crab walking by. And they put cameras on it and they go, I'll be damned. There's like little shrimp that live there. You're not going to kill 100% of the life in the oceans if the temperature of the water rises by 2 degrees. That's just not true. It's just provably not true. But the United Nations is, they don't care. It's all about scaring people into submission or compliance or changing their behavior. But, oh, you know, climate change is going to get us. If the climate, you know, if the average temperature rises by another 2 more degrees, it'll kill 10 billion people, you know, whatever. The reason why you know that isn't true is that if it was true that by just a couple of degrees they could kill a billion people on the planet, they would have done it already, because they're trying to murder people. They're trying to remove people from the planet. If they thought that they could just add a variable here and there and take out 70% or 90% of marine life just because the temperature goes up a degree and a half, or 100% if it goes up 2 degrees, I mean, it's just nonsense. It's just not true. And of course, they talk about number 6 on their list, clean water and sanitation. But, you know, this is all contingent upon the people in South Asia getting vaccinated first. It's like, we're going to bring in clean water and sanitation. We're going to bring in all of this, you know, these new supplies. But first, we need to make sure that everybody's had their vaccines. And that that they have access to reproductive services, because they're always trying to reduce the populations here. So they said, well, we'll make you a trade. You come in, you want clean water, you can't have 8 kids anymore. You can only have 3, right? So this is the plan. And by the way, the 17 sustainable development goals, this is like through 2030. They adopted this in 2015. They said, it'll take us 15 years to work it all out and get things into place. Well, it's been 10 years and there's five left until they hit their goal. So you think that they're not going to be working on the water? They are. They already have something known as the Sustainable Blue Economy. This is by the United Nations. Sustainable blue economies. Oh, they're just always worried about sustainability, don't you know? When they're trying to murder everybody as quickly as possible. So the way I see it is this. The empire seeks to control as many pressure points as possible. And water is an obvious choice. It's just another in a long line of things that they can use to manipulate and control and ultimately kill us. And if the state can't outright prevent you from having it, the very least they can do is make sure that it is filled with microplastics and fluoride, just so that you're not at your best, that you're just a little dumber than you were before, or we can fill your balls up with microplastics or whatever the thing is, right? And, you know, and the United Nations is global, of course. And so they use their carrot and stick approach to the world, right? Do what we say, we'll give you clean water. Don't do what we say, and we'll give you cholera. And then we'll just sort it out that way, you know? And in the aftermath, if they have to send the troops in, if the United Nations ever has to send the troops into your country in the aftermath or something like that, they'll make sure to rape everybody as well. Because that's what they do. And you can look up UN rape squads and things like that. You'll find all the people that have done that. So just forgive me if I don't stand and applaud the United Nations coming in to save the day with clean water. Because I know who they are. I know what their overall goal is. And it's not saving the people. So don't get your clean water from the United Nations. It comes with major strings attached. Here's an interesting little tidbit. You may not have known this, but I heard about this years ago, and then I went in and did some research on it just to make sure I wasn't wrong. And boy, you're going to be infuriated when you hear this. So I apologize if you're driving or something, maybe, you know, resist the urge to drive yourself off a cliff. That's all I'm saying. But during George W. Bush's disastrous regime, he did something that sort of flew under the radar. A lot of people didn't know this. He himself, his family, not for the United States, not in his role as the president of the United States, but as a private citizen, his family bought 100,000 acres of land in Paraguay. Did you ever hear about that? I don't think he's planning to relocate to Paraguay anytime soon. It'd be great if he did, you know, it'd be great if he was relocated to the center of the sun, as far as I'm concerned. But you go, well, that's a weird thing to buy. I mean, I get it that you're probably going to be an international war criminal looking to hide out when your regime is done, you know, 7 countries in 5 years and overseeing the debacle that was 9/11, but 100,000 acres in Paraguay, nobody will find you there. What is the reasoning for that? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. This land sits on top of the Guarani Aquifer, which is filled with enough water to supply the entire world for 200 years. I'm going to say that again because it sounds like I'm making this up. The 100,000 acres of land that George W. Bush bought is above an aquifer that has enough water to supply the entire world for 2 centuries. Just so you know. Okay. This aquifer incorporates parts of Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And he sits on top of, and they kind of sit on it too. This is not to say that he's the only one that has access to it. But in that 100,000 acres, he's on top of it, which I'm sure isn't an accident, right? Private private real estate transactions in Paraguay. Interesting. What else was happening in Paraguay during his administration? Well, I'm glad you asked. For 18 months, George W. Bush stationed 400 American Marines in Paraguay and didn't tell anybody the reason for it. He then bought the 100,000 acres so that he could have access to that. I think it was a show of force. I think it was, I'm either going to buy this land or we're going to take this land. But just so you know, your tax dollars hard at work. Let's talk about war crimes. Well, actually, it wasn't your tax dollars. It was his own personal wealth, which comes from Brown Brothers Harriman and trading with the enemy, his grandfather loaning money to the Nazis and almost being hanged for that, his father, George H.W. Bush, running something known as the Enterprise, which is probably a $1 trillion operation these days. And, you know, so the money came from that, I guess. I guess I misspoke when I said your tax dollars at use. It's just your ex-president. I envision him sitting at a beautiful lake in Paraguay, painting, you know, his final days. Mass murderer painter? Where have I heard that before? Anyway, let's talk about these war crimes. So water has always been used as a opportunity to destroy your enemy, right? You can flood them to death. You know, you've got an enemy that's at the base of a dam. Oh, that's a bad spot for them, right? You want to blow the dam up and flood them. You can use water a variety of ways. In Israel, the Israelis poisoned water wells in Palestinian towns during the 1948 war. Isn't that great that they just took those water wells and just poisoned them? You know who oversaw the poisoning of the wells, who ordered it and was in charge of it? That would be psychopathic Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion. You know, when you fly into Tel Aviv, not that I have, but the airport you go into is Ben-Gurion Airport. It's named after the guy. It's funny. Don't you think it's funny that the airport in Tel Aviv is named after the guy who poisoned a bunch of Palestinians by putting toxic chemicals in their water wells? Isn't that great? Don't drink the water at Ben-Gurion Airport. Just in case, right? Just to be safe. Oh my God, I fucking hate these people. They really are just a culture of monsters. Really, I just don't know how else to describe this. What they did to the water wells, they didn't actually put like gasoline in there or anything like that. You would know that. You would notice it. Instead, what they did was they put typhoid germs into the water wells. They wanted to give everybody typhus with the water. And they did. And it killed all these people. That's what they did. And it was called, I'm not making this up. They have a name for it. It's called Operation Cast Thy Bread. That's what it's called. Go look it up. You could probably do a fun meme about that. People say Israelis love their bread. They have the best bread in the world. You want to learn more about it? Search Operation Cast Thy Bread. And you'll be like, holy shit. They were putting typhoid germs in the wells and killing Palestinians that way. What they're doing to the Palestinians now, they have been doing for 70 years. It's not going to stop. All these people are like, we got to get them to stop what they're doing in Gaza. They're not going to stop. They want everybody dead. They've wanted them dead since 1948 when they were putting typhus in their fucking water supply. This is who you're dealing with. Nothing got any better. The guy who oversaw it became the first fucking prime minister of the country. Okay? This is a culture of destruction. So, and for those of you in Israel listening to this, you're going, this isn't my beliefs. I get it, man. I'm sure you're held hostage by your government, much in the same way I am held hostage by my government. But I'm still right. I'm right in my assessment of my government, and I'm right in my assessment of the Israeli government as well. This was a direct violation of the Geneva Protocol of 1925, but of course, you know, when you're dealing with the Israelis, they don't care. They don't care about laws, rules, protocols, agreements, treaties. They don't give a shit about any of that. They will do what they want to do when they want to do it. That's because they're God's chosen people. That's what they think, right? So if you've got that superiority complex, then you're going to see the world much differently than everybody else. So it wasn't just Palestine that was targeted in 1948. They did this. They poisoned the wells in Lebanon, Egypt, and Syria as well. All targeted, multiple war crimes. You know, of course, by the perpetual victims in Israel. Israel always the victim, never the bloodthirsty psychopath that's adding typhus to the water supply. You know, just crazy. And Israel is currently using another illegal tactic of water deprivation to dehumanize and ultimately murder all of the Palestinians. This is according to Oxfam. This is not according to me. This is according to Oxfam. They're weaponizing the water. I know nobody's surprised by this, but that's what's happening. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the World Bank. We'll wrap up with this. We'll wrap up with what's going on sort of with this privatization of water, because that is definitely the direction that things are headed. They're going away from government control. And they don't necessarily want to do full privatization because of, you know, what Chile and England had to deal with. But they do like the idea of public-private partnerships. It seems to be the working system that they're all in agreement fits for them. The World Bank is involved in this. The world, you know, they've loaned more than $75 billion for water and sanitation projects around the world in these public-private partnerships. So, you know, it's not like the World Bank is going to be out there, you know, hiring people to fix, you know, to manage the water supply. They outsource that. They say, well, we've got the money, and they'll loan it to the country, and for their water projects, for their sanitation projects. And they'll say, well, you bring in somebody who can build this out. So it's a three-way, which is gross, between like the World Bank, the state, and then the private entities that fulfill the dictates of these groups. So that's what we've got. But what's the current situation going on in the world? Well, this is according to them, according to the World Bank, there's still 768 million people who do not have access to clean water. That's a fixable problem. It's a fixable problem, provided that you want to fix the problem. This is kind of a secondary underlying point of this all. When I hear about the United Nations coming in to, quote, fix the water problem, and I know that without water, you're dead in 3 days, and I know that the United Nations was started by David Rockefeller, and I know that David Rockefeller wants eugenics and wants to depopulate the world, it's kind of hard for me to take the United Nations seriously and the World Bank, and these are all part of the same entity, take them seriously when they say they're going to come in and save humanity by fixing the water supply when I know that they want to destroy humanity. So I'm just, call me suspicious, right? But the numbers they see are 768 million people who still do not have access to clean drinking water. And you know what? They probably never will, because it does not benefit the empire, the system, to have these people around. They do nothing as far as they're concerned, right? They're just out here drinking mud. Who fucking cares, right? So we also have, this according to the World Bank, 2.5 billion people without safe sanitation. Again, I would say this is a fixable problem, but when I read the works of a lot of eugenicists, they talk about the ideas that they say, you know, what we really should do is we should remake the cities and make the roadways narrower so that we can cram more people into contact with each other so that they will die sooner. So they're talking about, and court the plague. That's what it was. It was, we should reimagine our cities, narrow them in, force everybody into tighter quarters, and then court the plague. That's what the guys were talking about. It's like, holy shit. So if you've got 2.5 billion people without safe sanitation, and you go, all right, well, that's what, 30% of the world? Well, if you're looking to thin the herd And you know that not having access to safe sanitation makes you a little bit more likely to get a variety of illnesses. Well, then where's the incentive to fix the safe sanitation? There isn't. There is no incentive. They're just talking about this. They're saying, this is the problem. And you go, oh, there's a big problem in India. What is the World Bank is going to get to the bottom of helping India? How are you going to do that? Is this part of the depopulation program? Well, they don't talk about that. Right. One of the things they are happy about, in fact, these are rookie numbers and need to pump them up, is the 3.5 million people who die annually from water-related diseases. Again, preventable, more than likely, at least if you got 3.5 million people dying annually. What do these freaks at the World Bank think about that? They probably think it's a good start. You know, 3.5 million people. Can we get that number up to 30 million people a year? Probably. They've privatized the water supply in a lot of places. And when I say privatized, I mean, it's like I said, it's the public-private partnership. Nobody went full retard except Chile and England, and they privatized, 100% privatized it. But currently, there are 59 cities in the United States who are reverting back to municipalities. They're kicking the privatization people out of their water management programs, and they're saying, we don't want you guys here anymore. We want the municipalities to run it instead. We just, for whatever reason. So it's already happened in 59 cities in the United States. It's happened in 49 cities in France. It's happened in 12 cities in Spain. It's happened in 12 cities across greater Latin America that who have said, we're done. We don't like this. This arrangement isn't working. We're looking through the contract. We're pulling the plug on it. You guys are out, and we're taking this back. So what's the reasoning for this? Well, I'll tell you the reasoning. The failure rate of water and sewer privatization is 34%. That means that a third of the time when they have this great idea, the water system completely fails. You get Flint, Michigan, right? That's what happens, is you get that. And they've noticed that it boosts corporate profits while destroying the people with higher prices for water and poorer quality. So there's nothing good about it. It's tempting, you know, and I despise the state. Anytime you talk to me about like, well, let's not let the idiots at the state run this. Let's let somebody else who's more specialized do it. I think that's a better idea. The problem is how you find the right partners to work with, because privatizing the water system sounds like a good idea. In a sense, it's not like, get it. Do you want the government to run it? They're idiots. And you go, well, yeah, that's true. But if you put it in the hands of a corporation, then they don't have the same sort of goals that we have. I mean, their mission is to turn a profit. When the city is in charge of the water, they have to provide water to the general public. Like, if they don't, there will be revolts. What are you going to do if a company does that? I mean, I suppose you could go to the headquarters and drag the CEO out and hang him, right? Maybe that'll happen. But this is going on worldwide. This has been a decision made to privatize the water. So I'd be very hesitant to cheerlead this, even though you can be as anti-state as you want, like I am. The idea of these people, because here's where I can see the problem being. You're in politics, right? You're running your county and you have to vote on this. You have to make the decision between whether or not this is going to stay with your control or be privatized to someone else. It's so easy for the people that make the decisions on privatization to be bribed, to be bought off by the companies that will stand to benefit from this. And they, well, name us, my company as the group that'll be in charge of this. And, you know, we can have you, I don't know, give speeches when you leave this corporate or when you leave this this government job of yours, or we'll hire you, or you can give speeches at our events in Hawaii, whatever that looks like. You know, I mean, they'll find a way. There's too many ways to grease these politicians into accepting a deal that benefits the people at the top while screwing over the general public. And when it comes to, I mean, it's one thing if you're just fucking them over on, like, I don't know, homeowners insurance, because you've done a deal with a homeowners insurance company and they're kicking you back something, whatever, and now the rates are through the roof. And that would be awful and criminal and shitty. But it's not water. When we're talking about water, you need to have a different level of care. And unfortunately, that's not happening here. So look, this is a reminder to start thinking about your water supply. They're already looking at it. So we should as well. Kissinger would be so proud, don't you think? Hey, everybody, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Macroaggressions.io is the place to go. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.